From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Should alcoholic beverages have a cancer warning label? And on top of all of that, Everett is going to vote on confirming dress codes for bikini baristas after settlement. We actually have an expert in bikini barista-ing who worked as a bikini barista. Selena is here because I put out this thing. I said, can we talk to a bikini barista? Does anybody want to come in? And Lena was brave enough to come in. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Totally. Yeah, it's pretty odd to be here.
Go ahead and pull that microphone right up to your face. Get real close, like about a fist away from your mouth, right about there. Yeah.
We want you to present well to the audience.
Yeah. And you have such a lovely voice that I think that people deserve to hear it sing. So if you don't mind, I'll just read the little bio that you sent us. Is that you were making somewhere like $80,000 a year working 2 or 3 days out of the week?
Yeah.
And that's just in tips because
that was including my wages as well, but wages are pretty much, it's always going to be minimum wage.
So you said that, I'm trying to skip some of these things that I don't want to mention here, but you did say that you were a stripper for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how well-behaved men typically are, is what you said. You said you didn't make much as a stripper, but it was fun, and you worked maybe 3 nights out of the week. You also said that you're asexual.
Yeah, so I just kind of threw that in there because I'm not your,
stereotypical?
I'm not your stereotypical. Exactly, yeah.
So you have no attraction whatsoever to men, women, none whatsoever.
I mean, I'm just not wired that way.
Yeah.
Think of like a little kid, how they just like haven't gotten to that, that headspace yet. I just never really went there. I never went boy crazy, anything like that, which is, I think, I'm lucky about it. Or I'm lucky for it. But
yeah,
figure I'd throw that in there because I'm not your stereotypical, you know.
Well, I never went boy crazy either. So I guess we're both pretty lucky in that regard.
Give yourself time, Jack. It's a big world out there, buddy.
You said you stopped dancing after a car accident, left you on a cane for about 5 years. I'm glad you recovered, right?
That's
pretty amazing. And then you now work for your professional and executive assistant. So what is the life of a bikini barista like? And do you think that my take yesterday was cringe? Because I was saying that I think it's weird to go to a place in particular and you drive up and there's a lady who's in a bikini. And then you are only there to gawk and to stare and to get an espresso. I think that that's awkward and weird, but maybe that's just the way that I'm wired.
I think it's just the way that you're wired, your assumptions about it. So I think it's hilarious that there are little tiny coffee shops that you can just drive up to and there's a lady in lingerie waiting to make you a coffee.
Yeah.
Like, it's really odd. It's a novelty. It's fun. But yeah, I very rarely had an awkward encounter really, even as a bikini barista. Usually people were just totally normal, friendly, totally fine. Never had anything bad happen. I didn't feel like they were there to gawk at me either.
Do you think
it's a really quick interaction?
Do you think that in some ways it's kind of like men or women who are looking for kind of a girlfriend experience where you have a woman, not in any way, shape, or form?
Not really. I mean, maybe you get that. It probably depends on the personality of the barista.
So, but they don't want to look at you in your lingerie. They just want to get coffee and then leave.
Well, I mean, they do want to. That's why they're there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because this place. Places get coffee everywhere.
Yeah, the place will get a drink every day. Yeah, trust me, I know.
It's
funny because when we hear stories of the industry, just because of the nature of media, we always hear the horrible stories about girls who had to, you know, tell people. I was at a radio show at one point in time. We spoke to a bikini barista who said they had a sign in her window of her shop that said, if you wouldn't show it to your mom, don't show it to me. And we were aghast by that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, but that's what we hear is the horror stories of the guy who tried to reach into a stand and grab a girl and pull her through a window.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know somebody that happened to, actually.
But their experiences
it does
that
happen.
You've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, it does happen, and it's unfortunate, but it doesn't happen that often when you consider how many stands there are. Of course, the media is going to talk about it because it's a big, you know, newsworthy story. It's like all the taboo things, right? But your day-to-day experience.
Overall, very safe, you felt?
Yeah, somebody's in a car and you're in a separate building. Like, there is no, it's not sex work either. It's a novelty. There's no, you might brush hands when you pass them the coffee at most, or hand them money. Yeah. But that's about it.
Well, so my thought about it is basically, so we live in like a hyper-sexualized society. And where
it's almost, very weird.
It's very awkward and it's very weird. And my thought about it is that when we take things that are as important as sex or connection or intimacy, and we distill them down to a 2-minute interaction over espresso, in a way, what we're doing is we're kind of like trivializing what is otherwise maybe one of the most beautiful things that two human beings can engage in, which is intimacy. You're incredibly vulnerable. You're naked, presumably, for most people. And I think that when we do these kind of rituals around sex that are kind of parasexual in nature, mm-hmm. that to me, it dilutes. I'm not saying that you did. I'm saying the industry as a whole, from my perspective, makes it so that that hypersexuality becomes even further trivialized to the point where it's like, like the actual intimacy that we could have between another person.
Oh, totally. It's very unhealthy. Yeah.
Okay. So sure. You agree with me?
Yeah. Just as a whole, the way that society yeah. is. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Okay. Perfect.
Undoubtedly.
Right. So did you have like a set, speaking of, did you have like a set of bikinis or a set of lingerie?
I have so much lingerie. It's ridiculous.
That was like work lingerie. And then there was like home lingerie or because like I have work clothes.
I guess Jack's looking for,
funny.
He's looking for tax advice. Were you able to write off your entire
basically
wardrobe?
Basically is what
for
I'm
work? Saying. You can, yeah.
Because like when I go home, I'm not wearing a tie in a tailored hoodie. I'm wearing yoga clothes. No. I sleep in these though.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But my thought about it was like, was there like a separate, like this is just for work and that this is more so for my partners or for myself or whatever?
I suppose. I mean, it's more costumey what you wear at work.
Okay. Was it like, did you have a color preference? We're getting really into my
minutiae. You really are, dude.
I really want to know what it looked
I'm
like,
really
huh?
curious That's about this. Was it more like black and pink? Were you like red? Was it more purple? What
Lots
was
of tights. Okay, like fishnets tights. And whatnot. And, yeah. Mainly black.
Yeah, I've actually wondered, is it cold to work in the
stand?
That's
my next question.
Oh, God, no. Coffee stands are super, super hot. They're
that
small.
Makes sense, because
they're not
well
insulated,
machine.
But the espresso machine is super hot. Yeah. You're constantly moving around. There's always things to do, things to lift and whatever. And yeah, it's definitely, it gets really warm. It's brutal in the summer.
Do you think that it should be an industry that should be, I don't know, more regulated? Or do you think that it should just be fine? Because in my opinion, culturally, I think we should shy away from it. I don't think that we should be engaging with it, but I'm not interested in any law.
Then don't engage with it.
Right, exactly. That would be the
point.
It's
not for you. That's fine. It's for plenty of other people. There's a lot of girls that make a good living doing this. And maybe they go about it entirely differently. Maybe they are breaking the rules. But ultimately, like, they're okay, and they are the ones who have to initiate that usually anyways, or at least lead on for it to actually be anything.
Do you think there were customers who came on a regular basis that in their own minds formed relationships in
totally.
You know, and is that healthy? Could it get dangerous if guys, I mean, did you guys feel a responsibility as the employees of a stand to kind of nip these feelings in a bud and let people know that there were boundaries and we're just making coffee here?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have any experiences like that personally, but I think that that could happen fairly easily, especially if you allow it to, you know, right, if you allow somebody to be however they're, like, you know, maybe wanting to be, if you kind of play into it, I could see that becoming a problem. But personally, I never had that issue.
So you were also a stripper for a period of time.
I was.
Can I ask the question that I'm not supposed to ask?
Sure.
What was your stripper name? Can I ask?
Macy.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's often it's Amber, right?
Some
price. Also by Farrah.
Farrah's good.
That's very nice. Did you read anything about Senate Bill 6105, the Stripper's Bill of Rights? Did you have any thoughts about it?
I haven't read it, but I've heard enough about it, and I've been around for long enough that I can kind of imagine. I think it's sort of odd how everybody is talking about the safety aspect.
Yeah.
Not to say that I think that it's perfectly safe or anything, and I haven't really worked in the big clubs in the city and whatnot. I used to work at a club in Tukwila that is no longer there.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that allowing alcohol is just kind of a duh. It's a no-brainer. I mean, look at Portland. It's awesome. It's perfectly fine. It's culturally different there too, though, because they don't have the whole, I don't know how you call it, but it's like the attitude towards strip clubs that we do here.
Really? How so?
At least I don't think so. I mean, even my boyfriend's mother is like almost 70 years old now. She thinks it's fine and funny. And, you know, his sister will come back from the club. She doesn't work there, but she'll go there with her friends and, you know, hang out, party, whatever. And it's totally acceptable there, more so than it is here. By a long shot here, people assume that, you know, it's like this dingy, gross, like bad place. But it does not have to be that way at all if you just make it a more welcoming environment.
The thing that I thought was interesting about this is that the Stripper's Bill of Rights requires strip clubs to limit the fees that they charge dancers. I didn't know that. I thought you guys actually worked for these establishments. I didn't realize that you had to actually pay for the right.
You pay rent. You have to pay the house every night. So depending on the club that you're
at. Like stage time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So it's basically for the venue is what it is.
And then maintaining emergency panic buttons. I had no idea. Is that
I don't know about that either. That's new.
Right. I don't know where you would put that on your body as a stripper.
It would be in the booths.
Okay,
you're actually doing the dances.
So I think one part of this, too, is also full-time security at these clubs.
There's always security.
Was there always security there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you...
yeah,
of course there is.
I don't think you could have a...
There's plenty of staff there. I mean, it's not like there's a ton.
I mean, they even had it at the Bada Bing, Spike. You're a fan of The Sopranos. You know what's going on
there.
There's always a door guy. There's always a manager.
Develop procedures for responding to allegations of customer misconduct and hire adequately secured staff, among other changes. Everybody was so excited about this. Everybody was so pumped up about it as if this was some kind of breakthrough in sex work. But I didn't really see it that way. I just thought it was kind of a initiation of standards within a workplace. A place that I've never been, by the way. I don't plan on going
we
to.
We should go. You should go. Well, we should go to a place. It's funny because Lena mentioned that Portland is so much different in its and how it views this industry.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
We've been to radio conventions over the course of my career, and you go to for Atlanta, for example, and you go to an adult club in Atlanta, and it's not dingy, and it's not dark, and it's not lonely guys, you know, making pseudo connections to women who would never give them the time of day outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like business. I mean, you have businessmen, you have couples going to these clubs, and they're high dollar and they're highbrow, and the performers are respected far beyond what you find in a local tinier club.
I just find it to be awkward and weird.
Weird.
It is this really parasocial environment where you are paying to gaze at somebody. Sure, the steaks are great. Sure, the drinks are great.
Sure.
Right, whatever.
Salad bars in Portland are world class. You have sneeze guards for a lot of reasons.
But for me, when I go in there, I'm more curious about, like, I turn into like a 70-year-old woman and I'm like, young lady.
Please
put some clothes on, young lady. Like, let's talk about getting a degree from community college. Like, let's talk about the Pell Grant. I get very, and I'm not a prude about those kinds of things, but my thought about being in that environment, just kind of psychologically, is when I see that person, sure, they're making a lot of money.
Right.
Sure, they're engaging in a kind of sex work. Sure that it's, you know, they're using, as Spike likes to say, the assets that they have. But my thought about it is that, is there not kind of another way that that person could find the means to provide for themselves that does not necessarily involve that fracturing of intimacy?
So a lot of girls work at the clubs part-time. They have other regular jobs.
Yeah.
One girl, for example, she worked for the – she actually had a government job. Like
for
a pretty good one, too.
For the state. And
yeah. I think she worked for the city.
Okay.
I can't quite recall. Yeah, it was hilarious. I was like,
let's be
what?
As vague as we can, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, totally.
No, I get you.
Yeah, no, for sure, yeah.
It's a means to an end for most of the people who work
in
it.
And it's super fun, too.
Yeah. And you're making really good money, and you spend that
time
to –
You can make really good money.
Pay off your college loans. Working 2-3 nights a week, making $800 in a bikini barista stand.
I understand,
right?
But are there not things that, this would be the argument that I would make, are there not things which are sacred in this world? Are there not things which are, well, hey, it's fun, it's a good way to make money, hey man, it's all a good time, but are there not things that we should preserve in so many ways that are meant and designed to be at a fundamental level, like at a biologic level, to be the way that we express intimacy? So just as an example, when people are engaged in, let us just say, adult relations, touch, things of that nature that I can't go on to because this is a G-rated radio program. There is a chemical that's released in the brain. It's called oxytocin. And what it does, it's a bonding chemical where when two human, it could be a man and a man or a woman, it doesn't make a difference, but when they touch in intimate ways, you are releasing that chemical, which is telling your brain this is a safe person to be around, that this is someone who is worthy of being vulnerable around.
Yeah, it's therapeutic.
Right? Yeah. Very therapeutic. You're getting something, a kind of a perverted version of that.
Warping it, in my perspective.
So that, to me, kind of outweighs any of the positive aspects. I'm not being critical of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that
I
wouldn't say it's a perverted version. I would think it's a bastardization of it.
Okay, I think that's a fair version.
I think it's a better wording of
but
it as well.
My other argument would be is that for maybe men that are intimidated by furthering intimacy, maybe this is a gateway into just being in the presence of a woman. Does that make sense? Because for some men, they have full-on panic attacks just being around women, right?
That's unfortunate.
But fortunately, it's unfortunately true, yeah. And at the end of this, you get a nice cup of coffee, too. So everybody wins, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
So you got out of the business. Now you're a personal assistant. Do you miss it at all? Do you think
sometimes it was fun. Yeah.
Just dancing and hanging out and having a good time?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't make a ton of money dancing, but I made okay money. It was fine. I miss it sometimes just because it's always something. If you go into the club, you go into the dressing room, there's always something going on, and it's just
drama.
Total nonsense.
Yeah.
You know?
Same in the newsroom.
Same thing. People changing, people getting naked. It's really weird.
Barring my mascara.
Right?
Yeah, it's really awkward. They're all in front of their windows with all the lights and stuff on it, and it's really, really creepy. So like, I used to have a number of jobs, but never one I would say that it was as cool on my resume as I was at one point in time a stripper in my life. Lena, thank you so much for coming in. We really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, totally.
Is there any, do you have any final thoughts on the Everett confirming the dress codes for bikini baristas? You think that it should just be whatever they want to do, whatever they want to wear?
I think so, yeah. I think that if you're going to try and enforce anything and regulate anything, you need to be getting after the owners. And I assume that's what they were doing before, but ultimately what it comes down to is the owner is being picky about who they hire and keeping an eye on who they hire.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that's what happens. The owners aren't pressing for anything. They just want the people, because they're making the money off the drinks. They're not making the money off the girls.
Right. But, that's all tip money. Yeah,
it's all tip money. Hopefully. It should all be tip money. Just allow them to do whatever they do and just make it safe. Don't demonize anybody. Don't make it any more taboo. Don't push it any more from like the gray market to black market, whatever the hell they're doing. It's fine. Just leave them alone. Make sure they're okay.
Lena, thank you so much for your perspective. And thank you so much for coming on. We've tried to have people on before, but they're always mean and nasty.
Oh, really?
And you were so kind and nice. I appreciate that so very much. Do you have anything you want to plug or anything you want to shout out? Instagram, nothing like that?
Mm-mm.
Thank you so much for your time, Lena. We appreciate it. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. What we know about UW football, Tywin Rogers charges. I mean, this is a really difficult story
it's
to
tough
try
story.
And every. So yeah. I figured Spike and I, we could talk about it because the details on this for the victims are indeed very difficult to hear, but you're going to want to know what's going on. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. Podcast, but also our YouTube channel, The Jack and Spike Show, where we release digital content on a daily basis because there's too much show for 3 hours. Go subscribe, go comment. It's a good time. So Tylynn Rogers is a freshman at UW who is now facing two charges of rape. Rape in the second degree, which is when the individual is incapacitated. Rape in the third degree is when I can't even...
Violation?
It's really
violation?
Difficult to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
It's really... But I just, when I'm reading this story, Spike, I just feel so bad for these victims because this allegedly happened back in October.
Right.
Both women, it's a very similar story, meeting on a dating app, mm-hmm. meeting at a party,
right.
and then being forced into a secluded location.
Or agreeing to more intimate location.
Yeah.
And when no means no doesn't apply to certain people, the aggressor in that case.
Yeah. And
at
so
least to these kind of
this
stuff.
Happened back in October. And
right.
yet, so they both got rape kits. They both filed something with the police. They both did due process. And yet, Tylynn was still able to go and he was able to play in the postseason a couple of times, which just seems a bit odd to me. But as you were telling me before we came into the segment, some people got injured and they were playing a championship game or something.
Well, Rogers is a kid who's got a ton of potential, an underclassman. So down on the depth chart means like the fourth string running back. But in the way UW played ball, everybody, they rotated guys through. So he got some field time. Now, he was suspended from the team preseason because of off the field altercations that were different than this.
Oh, wow.
He had some trouble off the field.
Yeah.
Now, the UW brought him on. These allegations of these assaults now, more than allegations, well, I guess they're still allegations, happened in, like I said, October, November. So he was removed from the team for the Pac-12 championship, which was late in November. Okay. But then he was allowed to play, like you said, in the two playoff games, the playoff semifinal national championship. And that's because the kid was given his due process. There was an investigation underway.
Mm-hmm.
These incidents occurred in the early winter months. The charges were just brought last week.
Yeah.
Which means that, like you said, there were rape kits were taken and investigations were done. Evidence was gathered. They felt it was worthy of a charging this young man with these two offenses.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how it's supposed to work. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth when an athlete, you find out this afterward that an athlete has been accused of and then enough evidence that he's charged with. But in the interim, you know, if a kid's got allegations, a kid's been accused. And so you let him play on the field. It doesn't look good in public, but I think it's how the system's supposed to work. I think what we really
I mean, the allegations weren't that he jaywalked, Spike. I mean, the allegations are significantly worse.
I'm with you there. And I'm not trying to diminish the severity of the crimes allegedly committed here.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody can say things. And without proper investigation and the due process.
Sure.
You can't penalize a kid whose his whole livelihood may be dependent upon his ability to get on the field in front of a national audience, and his value can be diminished because of allegations that may prove to be nothing behind them.
Sure. I would say, though, that in like this circumstance, what often happens is that we do not center victims or alleged victims. What often happens is we often center the perpetrator, right?
You're right about that, and I hate when that happens.
Right. We do it all the time.
We do far too often.
Can we name how many of Harvey Weinstein's victims can be named? How many of Jeffrey Epstein's victims can be named? Just off the top of your head. You know what I mean? Like, we have this weird thing where we look at it's a weird inversion that we do where we look at the perpetrator or the alleged perpetrator, and we don't look at the victims. And if anything, victims are often viewed as being partially responsible in some ways.
Like, far too often is the case.
And yeah, I would imagine absolutely. In this case, because one of the young ladies was inebriated, that probably, quote unquote, complicated the investigation to some degree.
I agree.
Now, I'm not saying that anytime anybody makes an allegation, you have to believe it. But when there is the severity of an allegation from separate individuals, you might want to listen to it. Otherwise, you end up with Bill Clinton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the university did listen to it. They suspended the kid preseason. They suspended the kid for the Pac-12 championship.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's always the question about athletes and the privilege that's given to premier athletes, world-class, you know, major university talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more about the culture of the university in question, right? The UW, we don't have this at the UW. You don't hear this.
What was the program you were telling me about? The acronym or whatever it's called?
Not sure.
The good guys only group.
Oh, OKGs.
Yeah.
For example, the previous coaching staff, Coach Peterson's staff,
yeah,
they would bring guys in with this bar to get over, our kind of guy.
Okay.
And they would look at kids' performance in society and off the field more so than their performance on the field. They didn't want guys who were fast and loose with the rules, who felt privileged and entitled, and that the rules didn't apply to them. Just wasn't part of the program. And I'm not saying that the previous coach DeBoer's, who all this happened under, the coach that is no longer here that went off to Alabama, maybe one of the reasons that this kind of was allowed to happen. Who knows what the new Coach Fisher is going to carry on. I can't imagine. But it's our university, I say our university in Seattle, the UW, is a high caliber quality university with quality individuals. You hear about programs across the country that are looked the other way with kids who don't go to class, kids who commit off-field infractions, not physical like this, but all off-field. And people look the other way for the sake of the football program's success. I don't think we've ever had that at the U or Wazoo for that matter. And I don't think we have it now.
So he was hit with two bail amounts at $150,000 apiece, which tells me that the judge is pretty serious.
Yeah, that seems very appropriate.
Very, very serious judge. And it is sad, I think, that whatever happened in that guy's life, again, this is all alleged, but if it turns out to be true, he is probably a victim himself who is now enacting that on other people.
Well, there's a culture of competitive sports that's aggressive by nature, that is, you know, winner take all by nature.
Sure, but I'm saying that what with abusers, they are often victims themselves.
Yeah,
like you look at anybody throughout history who is a, you know, prolific abuser, you will find someone who it's kind of like this. You might contextualize it like we have sympathy for the child, but we hold the adult responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you have sympathy for whatever that person might have gone through, but as an adult, you are then responsible for your actions. And so if this is all true, it is very, very sad for the victims primarily, but also for this young man as well, because his life will be completely...
This will follow him. 18-year-old kid.
Well, everybody involved, right?
Yeah.
The two women who, if it's true, like that is a scar and a wound that doesn't go away for many years. And then for him, having to live with that, I doubt he fully understands. If it is true, I doubt he fully understands the ramifications of his actions.
Right, and a horrible, horrible decision by him, horrible mistake by him. But so public.
I wouldn't say mistake.
I wouldn't say mistake, guy.
That's pretty.
Then I'm misspeaking. What I'm a bad decision.
I wouldn't even say bad decision.
A crime committed. What else would you define it? What he did?
A rape.
Well, but he made the decision to perform this act. I don't mean to diminish it by calling it a decision.
Yeah, I would just be very careful
this act. Then
You
know, here's an 18-year-old kid. And it's going to follow him for the rest of it because it's such a public occurrence. I'm sure this happens far too often in every other sector of our society that it doesn't necessarily ruin a guy's future for life or follow him everywhere he goes.
Well, I mean, if he's acquitted of it and he's found not guilty, that's, you know, that'll be that. But if he's found guilty, I mean, that it's justice served. Right?
I agree. I'm not trying to say anything opposite of that.
Yeah, I think that what happens is often, and this is going to be, people are going to get super triggered by this, but I'll say it anyway. Rape apologism worms its way into our language often.
Yeah.
And so when we frame things as a mistake, or when we frame things as, oh, intoxicated or whatever,
right,
that is that version of rape apologia that many people do. I know it's a difficult topic to talk about, but you have to talk about it in very clear terms, being the severity of the allegation. Now, if he's acquitted and he's found innocent, I'll go to bat for him and I'll say those ladies should have never said such right. slanderous blah, 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 blah. But right now, the way that I view it, you've got two women with very, very clear depictions of what occurred to them. And I think it's important to take that seriously until there is any reason to believe that it is not a serious
and enough
allegation.
Evidence to bring charges. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, this is the way that I think we need to talk about it. Like, when people say believe all women, unfortunately, what has happened to that phrase is it's been perverted and distorted. Because the original intent of the phrase, believe all women, you see it on college campuses, you'll see it, mm-hmm. you know, it within many different sections of society. The original intent was that a woman, when somebody makes that allegation, a man or a woman makes that allegation, that you are to believe it wholeheartedly. You do not question. You do not, you immediately do all of the, you do rape kits, you do mm-hmm. counseling, you do police reports. That was the original intent from it. And a bunch of right wingers came along and they basically said, let's take that phrase and make it gross. And so they then started talking about mattress girl or the girl at Virginia Tech or the whatever it is, yeah. all the fake allegations. And then it got distorted. Laura, you pulled the microphone up to your face. You have thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I do have thoughts. I think you just said exactly what I was thinking, basically, which is that believe women means if someone comes to you and says this happened to me, no matter what like role you're in their life, your first instinct is not, are you sure?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Did you send the wrong message?
Are you sure about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first instinct should always be,
we're moving forward with violence was committed against
yes.
you.
Right.
And I will support you. And then, yeah.
And it's a very beautiful thing, right? When sure. when you say when you make the commitment to somebody, when they make that allegation that you are going to do everything you can to help them until there is evidence which suggests otherwise, right?
Sure.
In-N-Out Burger is finally coming to Southwest Washington, and Spike is already gassing up the gassing up the car to get
down
there.
I'll be in the passenger seat. I love In-N-Out.
When is it opening up? 2025?
Yeah, so you guys, the other side of the state, too. Yeehaw!
You guys are just going to circle the lot no. for the next 12 calendar months until it finally opens, but we'll talk about it when we get back right after this. Burgers are coming to somewhere in Washington. In-N-Out Burger, which is a mediocre hamburger, is going to be descending on the state. There's going to be, you know, what's funny is that on our YouTube channel, The Jack and Spike Show, the first time that we talked about this, somebody, you know, I mentioned the fact that there was a line at a certain In-N-Out Burger when it first opened up that was 8.5 hours long.
Right.
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 And somebody with great confidence, supreme confidence, commented and they said, that story is made up. So that's fake news. It's total bull, is what they said. They said, you should be doing your job and you should be doing real journalism or whatever it is.
Really?
So I found the link from when that In-N-Out Burger yeah. opened up in Idaho and people waited in line for 8.5 hours
yeah.
and people were out waiting in line at night anticipating. And I put it in the comment below that person. I said, this might help you understand the reference that I was making. And that person didn't comment back and say, I'm sorry. Why are people mean on the internet?
It's so hard to say you're sorry.
It's really not that, like, if I'm fact checked about something, I will correct myself. But when someone is so confidently wrong and they don't acknowledge, they don't give me the courtesy that I would give them, it's really annoying. In-N-Out Burger is a mid hamburger. I've been eating In-N-Out Burger almost the entirety of my life.
Mm.
It is not as good as everybody says that it is. And when everybody freaks out about it, it's because they have Thousand Island dressing on the hamburger. Big whoop.
Is that what it is?
Big
well,
whoop.
It's the freshness factor, too, right?
It's the freshness factor, Spike.
I'm just
asking.
I can
make a smash burger at my house. It's super fresh,
I love
right?
smash burger.
That's what I'm saying, is
yeah.
that basically what In-N-Out Burger has done is they've convinced everybody because they've got the freshness factor mm-hmm. and they use peanut oil as opposed to canola oil.
And they have those cool potato machines. We can't forget about those. They go chunk, and then the whole potato turns into fries right in front of your eyes,
which is a trap. Travesty, because I want them shipped frozen from China.
They're crispier that way, right?
Well,
it's the razor cuts that make them crispy.
I understand that people are super excited about it, but if you want an In-N-Out burger, you can find the recipe list for an In-N-Out burger on the internet, and you can go make your own In-N-Out burgers, and you don't have to wait until 2025.
Yeah, but you don't get the sparkly white porcelain walls. You don't get the red and white uniforms, the paper hats that they sell as a take-home version of your experience.
Yeah.
It's the experience more than the burger, I think, for a lot of people.
It's also the price, because it's like $2.55 something like that.
Be more.
It's really, really cheap.
It's going to be more.
This is my rule of thumb when it comes to life. And ever since I have adopted this rule, mm-hmm. I have had nothing but joyous interactions when it comes to food.
Okay.
If I have to wait, I am not eating there.
Really?
Flat out.
Really?
If I have to wait more than max 15 minutes.
To get a table,
I'm
you mean?
Not waiting.
Okay.
I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting in a drive through. It's an hour of wait for this Korean place, but it's so worth it. No.
Yeah.
I value my life essence more than I value waiting in line for kimchi or whatever it is.
Do you appreciate good experience dining? Like, for example, first class service.
Like Daniel's?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, good experience dining.
Not for me. Like, a good restaurant is really in the meal, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, me too.
It's kind of like you could have all kind of kitschy stuff on the walls. Like, you could have, like, you know, the ties that have been cut in half and, you know, trikes from 1930.
Right,
and
right.
You could have a radio flyer up there. It's all rusted out. But if the food's fine, I'm totally fine to be there. But since I stopped eating carbs, I basically can't eat anywhere because all Americans eat is carbs all day. So,
you know, I've been in New Orleans maybe a half dozen times in my life, and the very best food in New Orleans comes from the dingiest, diviest little hole in the wall restaurant where that guy's been cooking on that same grill for 30 years.
Andrew, A+ today, my friend. Look at you being Andrew today. Nate Connors, dang, is that a fitted Seattle Seahawks?
Seahawks, baby.
Dang,
go
Nate
Hawks.
Connors. Is it because the sun's out you're wearing that t-shirt?
Well, that's part of it, but I just got Seahawks fever, man. I just can't wait because the Mariners,
4-8 start. That's season's already underway.
you're giving the ladies some kind of fever. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
Nate Connors.
Always.
You are a fever. That's what I'm saying. Laura, A+. Spike will give you a solid C+ today.
Thanks, buddy.
It's okay. Not so bad.
Hey,
a little weird with Lena, but that's okay.
Me?
No. You. Here's the quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
We got to start getting the cult of Biden going. We got to get people who are willing to die for Joe Biden.
Oh, I know.
Throw themselves in front of bicycles or sets of stairs.